In the first chapter of the Bible, there is the story of God's creation of everything in 6 days. And then we're going to have here in the second chapter that on the seventh day, God rested. This is going to be the basis for God's telling His people that they are to work 6 days and then to rest on the seventh day. Man is so created that he needs a day of rest. And the societies that have tried to abolish Sunday or the Sabbath earlier found out that they had hurt themselves very badly. You've had trials of that nature in Europe. Here's the idea that man is to work. Incidentally, I notice when folks talk about the commandment, 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, that part of it is often left off, and folks will just talk about resting on the seventh day. No, they're both there. Man needs to work, and he needs to rest. Now, this second chapter of Genesis tells us that before rain came, there are some Bible scholars that worked on this that think that rain came as such with the flood. That may be right. I'd tell you if I knew. But certainly the second chapter in verse 6 tells us that there was a mist that watered the face of the earth. And then it tells us again about God's creation of man and the Garden of Eden that we've already talked about. And then verse 16 of chapter 2 says, "The Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." Here's the idea that man was free to eat of the trees that God had created, but the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, in the midst of the garden, he was not to touch it. And this is the thing that's going to lead to the temptation and the expulsion of man from the garden as God had planted it. Here's the idea that this tree of the knowledge of good and evil would give, it was some tree different from our apple trees and pear trees. This would give knowledge of everything. I think that's what the phrase knowledge of good and evil means. It's probably an expression that Moses picked up in Egypt that just means knowledge of everything. And as I've already suggested, this is going to be where Adam and Eve are tempted. Now, we're going to have the story of this temptation in the third chapter, in the end of chapter 2, there's the story of the creation of Eve. God brought all the animals and the birds to Adam, and Adam named them. And whatever Adam called them, that was their original name, not their names now. But the names of animals were given by Adam. And then there was no animal to be a partner to the man, to Adam. And so the story is here. God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and God took one of his ribs and closed it up, closed up the incision, the flesh instead thereof, and out of the rib God made the first woman. Her name was Eve. That means life-giving or living one. And Adam says, "This is now bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman." And so, here is the creation of this partner for Adam. The old preachers always used to say that woman wasn't taken from man's head to rule over him. She wasn't taken from his feet to be trampled on by him, but from his side so that they could love each other and be close to each other. Now, in next verses, in the first part of chapter 3, it talks about the serpent. And in books like Revelation, Romans, John, the serpent is definitely designated to be the devil. The devil is speaking through the serpent. This means that there had already been a rebellion of the devil and some of the angels that went with him. And he wants to corrupt mankind. And so here's the story of the temptation. The serpent, and it's the devil speaking through the serpent, comes and he says to Eve, has God said ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman says, well, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, except for the fruit of this tree of knowledge of good and evil in the midst of the garden. And God said, if you eat it, you'll die. The serpent said to the woman, ye shall not surely die. Here's just a flat contradiction of what God had said. And temptation often involves turning away from God's word. Now, woman saw in verse 6 that the tree was good for food, pleasant to the eyes, and desired to make one wise. The New Testament phrasing would be the lust of the flesh. This would taste good. The lust of the eyes, it looked good. It was desired to make one wise. That's going to end up being the pride of life. It says she took the fruit thereof and did eat and gave also unto her husband. Now we turn over to the New Testament, 1 Timothy, and we'll find that Adam was not deceived. The woman was taken in. She was fooled by the devil. Adam simply followed his wife when he knew it was wrong. In some ways, what he did was worse than what she did. And so here's the coming of sin into the human race. Here's the coming of sin into the human family. And now, this has been part of man's nature ever since. Now, so many folks want to make this the eating of an apple. It doesn't say a thing in the world about apple. And we even know where this idea about the apple, you may have heard this all your life. This is a confusion of two Latin words, malus, M-A-L-U-S, now that means evil, with malum, which means apple. I don't know what kind of fruit it was. The point is, they disobeyed God. Sin is essentially saying, my will be done. Isaiah says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. Sin is doing what God's told us not to do. Of course, there's the condition or the state of sin. Man is dead in that he's separated from God by sin. He becomes alive when he becomes a Christian. And then there are sins. These are the overt individual acts of sinful man. You can call it the disease and the symptoms, if you want to. Sins can be personal, individual. Cain, across the page, is going to kill his brother. He didn't have any grandparents to spoil him. You know, folks want to blame it on grandparents spoiling the kids. Well, this little boy didn't have any grandparents. There weren't any bad boys down the street to lead him astray. This was the only family at that point. And here's the nature of these boys coming out. Sin looks so attractive, and yet it's going to bring death, spiritual death. And the first thing that's noticeable is that these people are afraid of God. Sin always brings fear of God. And so God had been coming and talking with these people, and at the time of the day when they expected him, they hid themselves from God. And God calls out, "Adam, where art thou?" Now, here's a question. Of course, God was asking, "Where are you right now, Adam? Where are you hiding?" God knew where he was. It wasn't that God needed the information or something like that. The simple fact of the matter is that God knows everything. But Adam says, "I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself." Here is man being afraid of God and hiding from God, and that's been going on for thousands of years now. Later on, man's going to simply persecute God's messengers, his prophets, Christ, and things like that, the church. Yes, but here, Adam is just hiding in the garden from God. And Adam's going to say, "I heard your voice, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." And God says, "Who told you you were naked? Have you eaten of this tree that I told you not to eat of? This tree of the knowledge of good and evil?" And here's human nature after the fall. The man said, "The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat." Blame it on somebody else. "This woman that you gave me, it was your notion, God. And she gave it to me." And God says to the woman, "What is this that thou hast done?" And she's going to do the same thing. She said, "Oh, the devil made me do it. The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat." And then you have God's pronunciation of judgment on the serpent. The Lord God said to the serpent, "Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. On thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life." Now, that doesn't mean the snake eats mud and dirt. The idea of eating dust or biting the dust is the idea of defeat, the idea of being overcome. And so, much more important, I expect, is verse 15 of chapter 3. "I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed." Now, here's the enmity between people and snakes. And when it talks about the woman's seed, it's talking about Christ in particular, when you put it with other passages. "It shall bruise thy head." Christ will crush the head of the serpent. "Thou shalt bruise his heel." Here's the promise or the prophecy of what is going to be enmity between thee and the woman. People just automatically hate snakes and kill them if they get a half a chance. But more particularly, here's the conflict between Christ and the devil. And then he says to the woman, "In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children. There'll be the pain of childbearing, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee." And then to Adam, "Because you listened to the voice of your wife," and the New Testament again tells us that Adam wasn't deceived. He knew exactly what he was doing, and went on and did it anyhow. "Because you have listened to the voice of your wife, cursed is the ground for your sake. And verse 18, thorns and thistles shall it bring forth to thee." There are going to be weeds. Now, I know the difference between weeds and thorns and thistles, but that's our word for it. This is why weeds grow in the garden and in the field. I expect one of the most overlooked, obvious lessons round about us is all these weeds that just grow in the garden. This is because of sin, and Adam and his descendants are going to eat bread in the sweat of their brows. they're going to have to work for a living. And then God says, you're going to do this till you return to the ground, till you bury it, for out of it wast thou taken. And then, verse 21 of chapter 3 tells us that God made coats of skins for Adam and Eve. God made coats out of animal skins. I think that means that God took the lives of these animals, and in a very real sense, this gets to be a picture of the sacrifices of the Old Testament and ultimately of the death of Christ. God's going to clothe them. God's going to give them these garments that He has made out of the skins of the animals. And the animal, of course, gives his life when his skin is taken from him. Now, this is going to become so much clearer as we turn the pages of the Bible. The rest of the Bible is the story of God's grace, the story of God's covering of sin and taking it away. Tell me this story slowly that I may take it in. The hymn book says, that wonderful redemption, God's remedy for sin. And this, in one sense, is where that story begins, the story of the gospel. Now, at this point, God says, man is become as one of us to know good and evil. Eating of this tree, whatever it was now, gave man a knowledge. And God says, we leave him in the Garden of Eden, he'll put forth his hand and take of the tree of life and eat it and live forever. In other words, man in that case would have lived on with his sinful nature, just like the devil does. And so God is going to drive Adam and Eve from the Garden of Eden, to till the ground from which he was taken, is the phrase. And the wording here is, lest he put forth his hand and take also the tree of life and eat and live forever. And so God drove Adam and Eve from the garden and placed the cherubim with the flaming sword to keep any of them from coming back in. Now, in this section of the Bible, in chapter 4, there's the birth of Cain, the first human being that was just born, we say naturally. And his mother says, I've gotten a man from the Lord. The word means gotten. I've gotten this man from God. And then there's the birth of Abel. And Abel is a shepherd. He keeps sheep. Cain is a farmer, tiller of the ground. Gardener, maybe we'd call him. Now, these two men bring their gifts, their offerings. Man has always been religious. Somebody asked one of the anthropologists, have you ever run across ancient people that didn't have religion? And the reply was, not yet. No, they both going to bring offerings. Now, the book of Hebrews is going to tell us that Abel brought his offering by faith. He was worshiping by faith. His bringing this offering from his flock, Cain, you see, brought the fruit of the ground, the garden vegetables. But his bringing the sacrifice was an act of worship of his heart. Paul says faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. God's word had come to these people. And so, Abel brings the firstlings of his flock and the fat thereof, you see, God has taught them how to worship. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and his offering, but not unto Cain and his offering. And I don't know how this was expressed, but God made it plain to them that this basket of vegetables wouldn't do. They were supposed to bring the body and the blood of an animal that had taken their place. And a turnip couldn't do it, or whatever it was that Cain brought. Now, Cain is angry. It says Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And God talks to him about this. Cain, why are you wroth? Why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. That may mean that there was a sin offering that he could offer right at his door. And then Cain talked with Abel and said, hey, let's go out in the field. And he kills his brother. Then God's going to come with the question, where is thy brother? Where is thy brother, Abel thy brother? And Cain said, I don't know. I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? Here's his attitude. I've got enough problems of my own without trying to keep up with him. Man running away from God's very seldom unselfish in his concern for neighbors and brothers. The folks that have concern for the sick and the lost are usually God's people. And so, God says the ground is cursed for you because of what you've done. There'll be barrenness of the soil, and Cain becomes a wanderer, and he goes out from where he'd been living, and evidently becomes what we'd call a fugitive for a good time. Cain says to God, my punishment is greater than I can bear. And folks will find out what I've done, and they'll kill me. And God says, no, I'm going to put a mark on you so that nobody will do that. Then we're going to have the birth of the next generation. Cain becomes the father of Enoch, and he built a city. Cain built a city now and called it Enoch after his little boy. And then here's the family tree. A man named Lamech. Here's a picture of sinful, fallen man. A man named Lamech took two wives, Ada and Zillah. And their children, one of them was Jabal. He's the father of the folks that live in tents and take care of cattle, the nomads that wander around with their animals. His brother's name was Jubal. He's the first musician, the father of such as handle the harp and the organ. And then Zillah, the other wife, here's polygamy, incidentally, she also bare Tubal-Cain, and he's the leader in this making of brass and iron tools and things like this. Now, here's a picture of how people are becoming. Lamech said unto his wives, Ada and Zillah, I think the tone of it would be, gals, let me tell you about this. Ye wives of Lamech, hearken to my speech. I've slain a man for my wounding, a young man to my hurt. He hit me and I killed him. And so, here's the direction that mankind is taking now that he has a sinful nature that's been passed on to him from Adam, and which is still a part of human nature. Here's Lamech boasting of his self-sufficiency, and he's proud of what he's done. Now, this section is going to end after you have some more family trees. Here's going to be the birth of Seth, another son of Adam and Eve. And, of course, there were many other sons and daughters later on. And then it says, men began to call on the name of the Lord. Man turns to God in an evil time. There were folks at this point that began to turn to God, to call on the name of the Lord. The Lord willing, we'll continue this in our next study.